Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espion. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgann. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgann. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gann@gmail.com. That's goforward.gann@gmail.com. Jeremy?
Hey, Paul. Welcome back to the state of Pennsylvania, the friendly confines of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. I mean, today we are going to be joined by a Pennsylvania boy, Fast Eddie Chambers, heavyweight contender. He fought for the heavyweight title actually a few months ago against Vladimir Klitschko. Wasn't successful, was knocked down in the 12th round, but Eddie's a good guy, and Eddie's a top heavyweight contender, so we're going to talk to him about what's going on in his career and what's going on in the heavyweight division. So that should be good. And also, LeBron James, he made his decision. He went to Miami. We're going to be joined by Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt's going to give us his thoughts on the free agency thing and LeBron James. And also, our favorite friend, our friend to the show, former Eagles tight end Luther Broughton, he's going to join us, and he's going to give his take on Dan Gilbert and his, I guess.
Now I'm sure, Paul. He's going to come out and he's going to tell everyone. He's going to tell everyone what he should tell him, which is, you know, that Dan Gilbert did the right thing by speaking his mind. I mean,
Let me stop. I mean, I hate to interrupt you here, but let me stop you for a second. I mean,
I'm sure you do.
I mean, LeBron James is a grown man. And he made a grown man decision. I mean, the only thing I have a problem with LeBron James is, I mean, essentially what he did is he was engaged with the Cleveland Cavaliers for 7 years. He was engaged, and Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers wanted him to marry them. But LeBron said, you know what? I can't do it. I'm backing out. I'm going to Miami. But the thing about it, the harsh thing about it is, LeBron went on national TV and dumped the Cavaliers. He dumped his baby. He dumped his girlfriend on national TV. I mean, his fiance, I should say. He dumped her on national TV. That's not nice. And as far as I'm concerned, my only gripe with LeBron is, and his team, is you don't do that, LeBron. It's not smart. It's a bad PR move on your part and your team's part. But, I mean, if you're going to do a show like that, then you had to go back to Cleveland. Now you made yourself kind of public enemy number one.
But, Paul, I mean, and what you said is irrelevant, and it's all true. But honestly, if you're LeBron James he knew months ago that he was going to the Heat. In fact, they've known for 2-3 years. All the details are now coming out. I mean, really, do you make it this spectacle? Do you make yourself as narcissistic as he made himself? He made the whole world cow down to him. I mean, if he really wants to be thought of as a superstar, as a responsible individual, as a professional, do you make this spectacle in full well knowing, leading people on, including Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers, or do you not, you know, just say to yourself, you know what, I know what I'm going to do. If you know what you're going to do, then just be a man about it. I think if you really look at what Dan Gilbert was saying, which was, and it's very true, this was extremely narcissistic. It was all about LeBron. LeBron wanted everyone to believe that they really had a chance to, as you call it, marry him. But in reality, no one did. LeBron just likes all this attention. He's like, instead of Paul, you're talking about a marriage. LeBron's like, you know, in my opinion, he's one of these two bits, you're taken out on a date, who really, you know, really wants you to impress them, put them in a nice restaurant, pay for the nice meal, but at the end of the night, Paul, it's just all about them. Are they getting the diamond ring on the first date?
Well, here's, I mean, I just think, I mean, I watched the show. I enjoyed the show. I rushed home to see the show. So I got caught up in,
you know.
I enjoyed theater, and I enjoyed that theater. It was drama. It was reality TV at its best, and it was great. But at the same time, LeBron James, I just don't think it was a good idea. Now, I can't call you narcissistic and selfish and self-centered and all those other things because of the proceeds of that particular program went to the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Oh, come on, Paul. Come on. Stop. The proceeds?
Also, the University of Phoenix donated five scholarships to the foundation.
University of Phoenix, online learning at its finest. What a great institution. What a great institution.
Whether it's a great band or what have you type of institution, the bottom line is that, I have a problem with if you're going to go on national TV, LeBron. You gotta choose the Cavaliers. Otherwise, you don't do that because basketball in Cleveland. And hey, this is not his responsibility. His responsibility is to himself. But basketball in Cleveland, as of now, is essentially dead. I mean, it was dead before he came out. They were last in attendance. The franchise was worth half than it is now. I mean, so. It's essentially dead right now in Cleveland. But and you can understand why Dan Gilbert did what he did. I mean, if your cash cow left you and didn't bother to tell you that he was going to leave.
But stop. I mean, really, what did now? I mean, didn't he really also make this very? Wasn't he very simply stated that this really was if for the Cleveland Cavaliers they fell and he and it was said Dan Gilbert said it. They felt, just again, like LeBron James used their name, their likeness, their, you know, image to tout that, you know,
people. LeBron James is the Cleveland Cavaliers. He is the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, there's no getting around that.
I'm not debating that. But I'm not debating if he's the Cleveland Cavaliers or not. That's not my point. What I'm saying is, and what I wonder about from time and again with regards to the Cavaliers and LeBron James is, if you really want to go out there and you want to tell people, as he did all year, that they really had a fighting chance, that this, that, and the other. I mean, they didn't. He was going to Miami the whole time. Why not just do the right thing and say, you know what, I'm going to explore free agency and I'm going to be, at the end of all of this, I'm going to be not with the Cavaliers. Why lead them on, allow them to go through the offseason and believe that, like you say, that they're going to have a chance to be relevant again? Why not do the right thing to a team and an organization that certainly did the right thing by you?
Well, the reality of it is LeBron is a free agent. He is entitled as a free agent to decide where he wants to play. LeBron made this decision that he wanted to play in Miami.
Was there anything wrong with Dan Gilbert's comment saying he felt like
a joke to lover. He sounded like a guy who just got left at the altar in a lot of ways, and he reacted like a person who was left at the altar. I mean, I understand.
A lot of other people agree with Dan Gilbert. During the season, a lot of broadcast professionals made it clear they saw LeBron James quitting in the series. I don't think he quit, but he didn't.
There was something missing.
As well as I do that was not the first
time
we heard.
I thought there was something missing in Game 5 of that series. I thought there was something missing, definitely. Game five and six. There was something going on there. I don't know what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it. I mean, if you look at game six, he had good numbers. I believe he had 27, 29 points. He had 15 rebounds in that game. He had good numbers. There was something not there. Something was missing. And unfortunately,
what was missing was the fact that he was gone already. He didn't really care.
I wouldn't say he didn't care. But, I mean, hey, Clipper Dell made his pitch. for him to go to the Clippers. I made my pitch for him to go to the Cavs. You made your pitch for him to go to the Bulls. But, hey, Dwayne Wade and then Chris Bosh, they made better pitches. And Pat Riley, they made better pitches to LeBron. And LeBron went to them, and he didn't listen to us, unfortunately. Shame on him for not listening to us. I mean, I think we're educated, smart people, and I think we could put him in the right direction. But, I mean, LeBron went against us, and he felt like he needs to go to Miami. And, hey, I mean, that's going to be – I'm not ready to give the championship to these guys. I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, there's a good chance that they will – they'll win at least one. But, I mean, I'm not going to hand it over to them right now. I mean, I like what Chicago's doing with Boozer, and they also signed Kyle Korver, and they signed J.J. Redick to an offer sheet. But we'll that's probably going to get matched by the Magic. But, I mean, I like what Chicago's doing. Chicago's got something there. I like the Orlando Magic, and, of course, I like the Celtics. I mean, they brought back their big three, and they also have Jermaine O'Neal as well, who they added in the offseason. So, I mean, they're going to be there too. And Atlanta, I mean, distant fourth, but they'll also be there as well. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Definitely we'll see what happens. As the season and as this thing plays out. Fast Eddie Chambers will be joining us tonight, I should say. I mean, Eddie ran into the Klitschko's, and a lot of people in the heavyweight division are running into the Klitschko's. And Eddie had a lot of impressive victories before that. Alexander Dmitrienko, the big guy, big Russian, he beat. 6'7" guy. I mean, he's a big guy. Eddie Chambers beat him. He beat Sam Peter. So he's beaten some top 10 heavyweights along the way. But he ran into those Klitschko's, those two Klitschko's. Vladimir Klitschko he ran into. And right now they're at the top of the division, Vladimir and Vitaly. They're the heads of the heavyweight division right now.
Now, he ran into, and you said, some the heads of the – and for him, though, Paul, it's a – in a way, it's a good division to be in because it's a weaker division in terms of boxing overall, and he certainly has, you know, his pedigree and his ability is there. And I think, unfortunately, though, the two Klitschko's, they certainly will dominate, but he can leave a mark in a division that certainly is looking for some real contenders.
Yeah, I mean, and outside of Vladimir Klitschko, I mean, I think Eddie could beat anybody in the division. I mean,
yeah.
Tomas Adamek, he's a guy I think he definitely could beat, a contender in the heavyweight division, just beat Chris Areola. Alexander Povetkin, the guy who's going to face Klitschko, Vladimir Klitschko, he's a guy. Eddie lost to him, but that was a fight that I think Eddie gave away in the late rounds. But I think it's a guy Eddie could beat as well. So I think Eddie can definitely compete at this heavyweight division. I mean, some are speculating that maybe Eddie needs to go down to the cruiserweight division and believe that he may be more successful there. But, I mean, we'll get his thoughts on that as well. But it should be interesting to hear what he's doing and what's next for him. We haven't heard from him since that knockout loss to Klitschko back in March. But we'll see where Eddie's at and what's going on with Eddie. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/BGant. That's blogtalkradio.com/BGant. And you can also send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. So, Eddie Chambers will be joining us. We're also going to be joined by Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. He's going to talk about this LeBron mania, the three kings in Miami. He's going to talk a little bit about that. So, and that should be very, very interesting to get his take.
And you were mentioning, too, Paul, you know, don't forget the three kings, but a lot of other teams made some quality moves, and I think it will be interesting to get, you know, everyone's take on that. I think certainly the Heat, unfortunately now, and I'm going to, for the first time, you and I haven't really opined on how we feel, but, I mean, I'm disgusted. I think the Heat, it's disgraceful. I think what Charles Barkley said couldn't have been put any better. I mean, if you're LeBron, if I'm LeBron, I'm in the prime of my career, and I'm the supposedly best player in my era. I know I'm darn sure not going to team up, and especially for a four-year contract, which is what it really boils down to for him, for Bosch, and for Dwayne Wade. It's really just a four-year deal. So they're going to see as many chances as they can win in 4 years. And we're bringing on a boxer, an individual sport. I'm interested to hear, if anything, we get a chance to even to see, you know, a take on how, you know, he fights alone. It trains certainly with a group of people, but I couldn't imagine being the, you know, the best in my era, and then teaming up with arguably, and Dwayne Wade is arguably one of the best of this era, not being able to do it on your own with the second tier players, but having to go to not just the second or third best in your era. I think it's very weak. It speaks a lot, in my opinion, on LeBron's desire to redefine his stance. Whereas a guy like Michael Jordan, sure, he played with Scottie Pippen, who was arguably in that year again one of the greatest, but certainly not the next greatest. I mean, if Michael and Charles played on the same team, or if Michael and Magic, or if Michael and Karl Malone played on the same team, then yeah, it would certainly be that would be the likeness. But to see this, I'm Paul, I'll tell you, I think it's weak.
Well, I mean, here's one way to look at it. I mean, these guys have developed a friendship. They play with each other in the Olympics. Both were drafted in 2003, so I think they developed a relationship, a friendship there. And it comes down to this: if you have an opportunity to play with your friend and a friend,
it's missing college, Paul. You know what it is, though.
A friend that can help you get to the next level, a friend that can help you win titles, a friend that can help you achieve your goals. Friends, I should say. Would you do it?
No, you know what, Paul, but this gets back to the discussion you and we had on this show maybe about a month ago about, you know, how important, if there was an age limit, what does that do? But here again is the not having the age limit. Chris Bosh, LeBron James, two out of the three, never really experienced, had the four-year college experience, with the exception of Dwayne Wade. This immaturity, the fact that they didn't go to college, didn't spend 3 to 4 years playing in a college, I can assure you. And you watch a documentary on HBO, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, they had a personal relationship off the court to a certain degree, but they absolutely positively, because of their college experience, they would have never played together. Never. You would have never seen that. You were never going to see, you know, a Duke player and a North Carolina player teaming up together. It was never going to happen. But these are, like you said, these are friends. These are young, immature. Still today, LeBron James is very, very young.
Seven-year pro experience, Paul,
but he really should only have 4 years.
I think you're being unfair in terms of calling these guys immature. I mean, they made a conscious decision.
This is, Paul, this is high school. It's a popularity contest.
They made a conscious decision that they wanted to play with each other. It is their right as a free agent to sign where they want to sign. They chose to sign with each other and play in Miami.
Paul, would you,
like
come
it.
On, Paul, would you
like
do it?
It.
Paul, would
I
you do it?
I wanted,
would you do it?
I wanted, if I could play with a friend, but I know that friend can get me to where I want to go and help me to be successful, then, yes, I think I would do it. Why not do it?
Paul, this isn't a friend. This is supposed to be a competitive sport. I mean, these guys are supposed to be athletes. And, I mean, at some point, like, I understand the whole friend thing if they grew up together. They didn't grow up together. I mean, they knew each other starting, really, and they had a relationship. All of the information that we're now getting disseminated from the media outlets, this all started and was hatched in 2006 when they started playing on the Olympic teams. I mean, they were really not friends much before 4 years ago. And that's why I say, especially like you look at a guy like LeBron James, who would have played in college against a guy like Dwayne Wade, would have really probably built that rivalry in college because they wouldn't have played together because Dwayne Wade did not go to a major college team. They probably would have not really, again, not a major college market. But LeBron James would have gone. LeBron James, Paul, would have gone to any college that he would have gone to, major institution. But if they would have, if he would have gone to college, he would have really, and the same Chris Bosh, they would have, Chris especially, and LeBron especially, would have potentially had a rivalry. And they may have seen a lot of Dwayne Wade in the field of 64. That would have necessarily potentially stifled their friendship because they would have been rivals in college. I agree with you. It's cute and it's fun, like to play house like they're doing now down in Miami. But it certainly is going to be interesting to see how, for the first time ever, three mega stars share the ball.
Can they do it? Well, only time will tell, and we'll see what happens. But we're now joined by heavyweight contender, Fast Eddie Chambers. Eddie.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hello? How are you, sir?
Hey, Eddie, how are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Eddie, you're a guy who is familiar. You're originally from Pittsburgh, and now you're trained in Philadelphia, and you know part of it has to be the rich tradition that's in Philadelphia. But what was the key as you deciding to base your training camp and base your fighting career out of Philadelphia?
Well, definitely is the rich heritage, man, of the Philadelphia fighters and also the Philadelphia heavyweights. But just period. I mean, coming from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there's no knock on Pittsburgh as a fight town. I mean, it has been a fight town in the past, but at the time, you know, at the current time, it's just really not a place we can build a young fighter. It's very difficult to get fights and you know, good places to fight. Also, venues, especially after a few that we were using, shut down. So it was a little difficult, so we said, well, why don't we try to come to Philadelphia? You can get all the great sparring that you couldn't get up in the city of Pittsburgh and stuff like that. So we went up there and got all the sparring we needed, all, you know, got with the right people and put in all the fights we needed as well. So it was just the best logical step for us at the time. And also we had the right people taking care of us, so it was a good move.
Now, do you think you have developed that Philadelphia fighting style, that Philadelphia toughness?
There's no question about that. I mean, not necessarily the fighting style, you know what I mean, but the toughness for sure. And I don't think so much it was something that I developed. I think it was in me all along. It was just a matter of, you know, getting an opportunity to show it. And, you know, fighting Vladimir Klitschko, you know, you're going to have to show that all the time because of the way he fights and the difficulty you have dealing with those kinds of fighters, especially me being an undersized heavyweight and heavyweight division. So
right.
It was something that was there. It's just that, you know, I've had a chance to prove it in sparring. But, you know, it was just something that that helped me, I guess, you know, progress throughout my years in boxing.
Now, let's talk about the Klitschko fight. I mean, you went through, you beat Sam Peter, a top 10 heavyweight. You beat Alexander Dmitrienko, a top 10 heavyweight. And you worked your way up to Vladimir Klitschko. What happened in that fight? And is there anything you could have done differently to have a different outcome?
There's no question about that. I think the game plan going in was actually a good game plan. You know what I mean? We had the plan, the right plan. There's nothing else I can go into it but the plan for it. But I just think that when I got in there, you know, seeing everything how it was, all the people, the lights, and how much of an interest it was over there, it just became bigger than I thought it was. Not saying that was the reason that I didn't show up, because once the bell rung, all that shit went out the window. You know what I mean? Excuse my expression for it, but it all went out the window. But, you know, still, you know, dealing with all that and all the fanfare and everything kind of made it a tough thing, especially being over there in Germany where he's from. And, you know, I didn't necessarily get booed or anything, but it was just like, you know, he was so beloved over there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it kind of made it a little more difficult because, you know, I'm used to being, you know, kind of the one that's cheered for, even though that didn't. Honestly, at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. But once you get in there, you see him, and he was a big guy. And then he actually went in there and stuck all the way to his game plan. Like, I mean, he didn't waver a bit. Stayed behind the jab, you know, and made it almost impossible to get inside. And then with his size and strength on top of that, and then having good movement, made it even more difficult. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think the way I executed my game plan, which I didn't do at all, is what was a determining factor more so than even him keeping control of the fight. You know what I'm saying? It was me getting out there just standing in front of him and letting him dictate. If I would have gotten on, you know, on his tail, on it, or gotten on my bike a bit it made him chase me. It made him work extra hard to get those shots, to land those shots, or even keep me at bay, whatever the situation may be. Maybe pick the pace up on him. It would have maybe worn him down to a degree, and toward the later rounds would have gave me the edge. But because of me standing in front of him and doing what I do in every other fight, he was able to pick those things out and see those things that I, you know, the mistakes I made in those fights that turned out to be good for those, but not good for Klitschko. And Vladimir knew that, and that's how they took advantage. And him and Emmanuel Stewart, you know, they made a dynamite team, and that's why he's going to be one of the, go down as one of the greats.
Right. And you raised up an interesting point. Paul and I actually were talking about this right before the show. You know, HBO president Ross Greenberg said many times, right now HBO is out, in a way, of the heavyweight division, much part and parcel to the fact that they're U.S.-wise, the heavyweight champions are not here. And how much of a role did that play in terms of your training camp, having to go over to Germany for the fight and it being, like you said, such a different experience fighting in another country and to a certain degree the crowd and the environment over there?
Well, see, that's the thing, you know what I mean? The American heavyweight's not here, and, you know, we're not, you know, how the bigger guys are over in, you know, Eastern European countries. And not only are they bigger, now they're supposed to be more more skilled at traditional boxing. But I think really that pressure is the kind of pressure that should inspire you to be better. You know what I mean? That pressure of the crowd being negative towards you should inspire you to want to make them accept you. And that was the thought going in. But obviously, once you get in front of them all, it makes it that much more of a difficulty. But I think really what made the difference, you know, the most important thing that made a difference, the fact that he stuck to the game plan and that he stuck to his size and his overall ability is what really dictated me to losing that fight. Not stepping up to the table and taking the challenge like I should have, listening to my corner, although, you know what I mean, even just going in there doing my own thing, I should have just picked it up. I really didn't. I don't think I did what I could have done, what I could have shown. That's why I'm so eager to get back in there and prove that not only was that not, you know, not me, but that I'm one of the better fighters out here still in the heavyweight division.
Now, Eddie, and I agree with you. I think you are one of the better fighters in the heavyweight division. You beat some top 10 heavyweights, and you legitimately beat them. Now the situation with Klitschko, their size, everything, but Vladimir Vitali. Is there any way, do you think, with the rematch, if you worked your way back up and got a rematch with Klitschko, Vladimir or Vitali, would it be different?
I think so. I think what I do and what I can do good still poses a problem for Vladimir. And I think even if you talk to him, there were certain things in that fight that I did that, you know, gave him difficulty and frustrated him to a bit. There were times he really couldn't land his shot. He couldn't keep his jab, but he couldn't keep his hands on him. He couldn't do things that he's so used to doing. But although I did, as long as I wasn't hitting him, there was no way he was going to lose the fight. But what I'm saying is those things gave him difficulty. And if I can do that, plus add the offensive attack that I needed to do, there's no question that not only would it be a different fight, it may be a, you know, a complete 180-degree turn, or maybe even 360-degree turn in the fight, to
right.
where it would be not only more competitive, maybe I can even win the fight. And I just think I have that ability. Not taking anything away from Klitschko,
sure.
but it's to say I do have the ability to, you know, perform at the top level with the top level fighters.
And I agree with you. And Eddie, you're other than the Klitschko's, Eddie, you're at the top of the division.
Right.
But where do you put yourself in terms of the hierarchy in the heavyweight division? Are you next to the Klitschko's? I mean, where do you put yourself? Where do you see yourself?
I believe so. I mean, I believe I'm right next to Vladimir. You know what I mean? Not necessarily excluding his brother, but I just believe that I'm right there with those guys, even with losing to Vladimir. And you know, even when most people saying I wouldn't stand a chance against his brother neither, but I just think that I'm right there with them, with Hay, with, you know, any of the other guys.
I agree.
Povetkin, even though I dropped the fight to Povetkin, even though I should have.
That's a fight, I think, if you got another chance at it, you would beat him. You
fade
away.
Everybody fades away, including that one, including myself. But no, I mean, those are the things that I think. But those are the questions I have to answer with the rest of my career. See, that's why I
right.
got to make sure I'm well prepared, training hard like I am, and get in there with the right mental attitude, man. From now on, man, I got to be able to compete on this top level, no matter what, who's there, no matter what the lights are, the fireworks, and you know who the guy I'm fighting. I have to still go with the same mental attitude. Look, I'm 0-0 going into tonight. I just need to come out 1-0.
So where's your next move, Eddie? Where do you go to put yourself, you know, back in the ring with the Klitschko?
Well, obviously I got to go up. I mean, of course you take a fight to bring yourself back and you see where you're at. You know, after a knockout defeat, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, even being, I don't care how it happened, whether it was the last round or whether the punch didn't land that good, whether I passed out, I don't care how it happened. You still have to get over that mentally because in my mind it was a loss. I was losing the fight. I got stopped. Bam. And that's it. So I think that taking the time off, completely recovering from that mentally, not physically, because I've been recovered from it physically. In my opinion, I was recovered maybe a week after the fight from it physically. But mentally, it's going to take a whole lot longer to get over that. And that's why I'm taking my time, coming back, and, you know, I'm just working hard, finding things to do outside of the sport of boxing, but you know, to keep me around, keep me happy, keep me active. And those are things that I need to do before I decide to jump back in that ring. But obviously, the first fight may not be something really huge. I don't want to jump right back in with another title fight, although that would be nice, and believe me, I would take it. But I would rather come in on something a little less, you know, important, let's say, where I can go in there and work around and see what I feel like and see how things go and dominate, hopefully dominate that fight and then go on to the next thing and gradually work my way back. It doesn't have to be a championship fight immediately, but I definitely want to get back in the next two or three fights if possible.
Now, there's been talk of you going down to cruiserweight. You came into the Klitschko fight at 209 pounds. Is that just talk, or are you seriously thinking about going down to cruiserweight?
Honestly, I thought of it because, I mean, what would be better for me, you know, fighting somebody my size finally. I mean, I haven't fought anybody my size, honestly. Besides a few fights I had at heavyweight, the guys were kind of small, but I haven't fought anybody my size since I've been boxing, for that matter. I really don't think I really can. Even going back to the Junior Olympics and when I was 16 years old, I was always fighting somebody older, bigger, supposedly stronger. And I've always been the underdog to a degree in those fights and things like that. So it was like, what would be more nice for me than to fight someone that is equal on the playing field as far as size and things like that. But then I thought about it, and I said, maybe that's just not me. You know what I mean? I like a challenge. I love a challenge. And I think anybody who is a top-level athlete, always wants that big challenge. And I think for me to go down in history as one of the, the better fighters in history, I'm not saying one of the greats. I'm not going to go that far at this point. But to be one of the better fighters in history, you got to have some kind of adversity. You got to have some kind of some people would like to say disadvantage. You know what I mean? You want to have a serious challenge. And I think me being the smaller guy, even if I do get my weight up, put some muscle on, which I'm going to be doing, it's still going to be a challenge because I'm still not that big of a guy, naturally. So I think that's what I need, and that's why I'm going to stay here at the heavyweight division and see what I can do going forward. My goal is to win that title, and I think that's going to happen very soon.
Now, Eddie, are you a little afraid? You're talking about putting muscle on. Do you think that'll hamper your speed?
No,
because that's your calling card. That's your drawing card in the heavyweight division, your speed.
I mean, if you think about it, if you go back and look at the fights when I was overweight and fat and sloppy, you know, I want to say that. I mean, I wasn't really as fat as, you know, some of the other guys out there, but I was, you know, not to my liking and not to a lot of people's liking. And it just looked disgusting to me. And I still had the hand speed. You know, I mean, I didn't have the movement, really, but I had the hand speed. And if people really want to go and pay attention, I mean, look at football players, look at basketball players, even the ones that put on, you know, extra muscle, they still have that speed, quickness. And not only do they have the speed, quickness, as long as you're flexible, you know what I mean, you still can do it. But they also have the power, and that extra weight comes strength.
Right.
So those things all coincide. I think muscle, what it does is gives you the ability to control the weight of your body a lot better because it builds strength. So I don't think in any way would it slow you down. Don't get me wrong, it's a little heavier than the fat that you would put on, but also it gives you that much more control. So your body will be, you know, more equipped to handle that extra weight. And I think that's what I'm leaning towards. And then once I fight these bigger guys, they're going to feel not only the strength I had before, because I was always strong, but now it's going to be, you know, 10 times that.
So you're saying right now you're relaxing, you're enjoying life outside of boxing right now. Is there any fights in the making coming up for you?
Right now, honestly, I haven't looked at anything just yet. I mean, we heard some things that Mr. Hay, the Haymaker, was saying, you know. But, I mean, that's, you know, talk is talk, you know what I mean? And I think he's telling himself just as good as anybody else in boxing. So I can't be, I'm not going to be mad at that. I'm not even going to respond to it really to a degree. But, you know, that, of course, at the title fight, I mean, I would love to have that, but that's not, but there's really honestly nothing in the works. We're not really talking about going after anybody. You know what I mean? Like I said, I just think it's time for us to really just recover from that, defeat.
Okay.
And it's a big one because it's a loss. You know what I mean? I don't like to lose. I'm a very competitive guy, and it's like, and being one of the top fighters out there, I don't take losing very well. So I want to make sure I get over that and continue to work hard, like I'm doing even now, and put that work in so I can come back and be a heavyweight champion in the world very soon.
Sounds like you got a restaurant there, Eddie. I'm hearing plates and everything.
No, I'm at, you wouldn't believe where I'm at, but I'm telling you, I'm at the gym right now. We were actually about to get another weight workout on because it was a little late because we had to do some things earlier, but. That's how dedicated I am. We're working out all the time. I've been in the gym last week, 6 days that last week, doing my strength and conditioning and some agility drills. So, I mean, my body.
That's just Paul's problem, Eddie. His mind is on food all the time. Unlike professional athletes, he's more worried about what, you know. He was going to ask you what you're getting for dessert.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. My fault. If that's the case, I mean, I wish I could have some, man. No question. I wish I could do that dessert. My diet has to change for the better, man. And the thing is, it has. I've been eating like I'm eating like I'm in training camp, and it's just like, you know, man, every once in a while you look at those cookies and all that stuff, man. You just want to get your hands on them, but you know you can't.
Well, Eddie, I mean, it's the summertime, and I'm trying to get my beach body on, just like you're trying to become heavyweight champion. But Eddie, I won't let you. I'll let you get back to working out and get yourself ready to become the next American heavyweight champion of the world, Eddie. And Eddie, we thank you for joining the show, Eddie. When you schedule a fight or when you got an upcoming fight, definitely come back, and we definitely need to talk about it.
Well, you know what I say, man. Anytime. I always like the interviews with the good people, man. And these guys seem like you do a good job, so I definitely want to be on here again, man. So just all you got to do is let me know, contact me on Facebook or email, and we can get this done.
And you got a website, Eddie?
Actually, me and my brother and my team actually have a website. It's called teamchambers.tv. Teamchambers.tv,
okay.
That's the website. You can go on there and see updates, and we're going to start updating it even more because there's mainly stuff from the last fight, Mules Vladimir, and we really haven't been on it, you know, kind of down, you know, a little bit, expecting for victory, obviously. So what we're going to do is we're going to start updating, uploading more stuff about him on there, my brother, and also me as well. So we're going to really be moving forward and getting these things off. So definitely check it out. It's teamchambers.tv.
All right, Eddie, thank you for joining the show, and again, come on back. We'd love to have you back, sir. And good luck.
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir, man. Thank you,
sir.
I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Fast Eddie Chambers. I not really like his hunger, man. I like the way he's talking, and he's a guy, no excuse, no excuse at all, no excuses whatsoever. And he's about the real, and he said there's no excuse in him losing, and he's ready to get back on the right track. And hopefully he will get back on the right track. Good guy.
And of course, we also found out you're still thinking about food. So your workout days are pretty much done, Paul. You retired from the gym.
It is the summertime, and I definitely want my sexy back, and I will bring sexy back, and just give me some time.
I'm waiting.
Why can't Paul Gant do it? And why I'm at it, why can't Jeremy Yespe get his sexy back? And
yeah, you know that's a long way away, Paul.
Well, you know, I can't say I'm close, but you know,
I'm talking about Jeremy Yespe. I'm talking about in comparison to a guy like you who used to control the weight room.
Well, you know, I was a demon in that weight room. I loved the weight room, but I mean, you know, I loved other things too. You know, I loved food and. I love burgers and fries and pastries and candy and so on and so forth. But we all have our vices that we are dealing with. And
my newest vice, and a good segue, newest vice, and like I said, a great segue is when you're at the top of your game, arguably the top of your profession ever. And you decide that you're going to team up with the two other people in that year that are right there with you. I mean, you know, I went from literally being, I mean, I was a D-Wade fan. I was a Heat fan, certainly when Shaq was there. Now, of course, you know, they have usurped the Bulls. And you and I grew up, of course, the Michael Jordan haters, and now I look at LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh all weekend. You know, my family thought that I had maybe an intestinal virus. It was just the sheer thought of the Heat has made me just completely nauseous.
Well, I mean, I'm not nauseous by it, but I can't say I would be rooting for these guys. You know, I definitely can't say that. I mean, I wanted LeBron to stay in Cleveland. I really wanted him to get a championship, to that championship city. I really did, but, you know, I mean, life is life.
But you're looking at Paul, and one of the things you kept saying, too, was, you know, he had a chance to mold that franchise. He's going to go to a Heat franchise. And really, and one thing that, the only thing that excites me about this is, really, the LeBron James brand now, it really, whether he wants to believe this or not, but this is strictly, like, economics. This is guaranteed economics. He brings in two megastars next to him. And no matter what happens to him, because of the Michael Jordan, because of the Air Jordan brand, because of Kobe Bryant, who won with a great player in Shaq and won without a great player in Shaq, he will never – all the championships he's going to win in the next 4 years or all the championships he's going to win unless he stays on. His brand is over. I mean, the LeBron James brand is over, Paul.
Well, definitely.
It's done. They're going to rebrand it into the Heat 3.
It's
going to
be rebranded. And the executives at Nike will find a way to make it right, I guess. But we'll see what happens. But right now we're being joined by Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt's in Las Vegas at the Summer League. Kurt?
How you doing, guys?
Doing well. Having a good time out there in Vegas?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people come out here, and it's both fun for them, and they get to watch some basketball. But my in-laws live here, so I just come out and watch basketball and stay with the in-laws. So it's a lot less fun.
Oh, man. Tell me about it.
Sure. That's what they all say.
I might find my way to some sort of entertainment at some point, I imagine.
Just be careful. Kurt, obviously, big news, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, all together in Miami. Let's get your initial thoughts on it.
Obviously, that's a pretty powerhouse trio. I'll tell you, the interesting thing here, and I think you're seeing it with some fans in parts of the nation, but you're definitely hearing it here at the Summer League, is they've become the for lack of a better word, the evil empire. They've become the people everybody's gunning for, where they're actually more disliked than the Lakers. Around the league, and I didn't think that was possible. It's going to be kind of interesting. I think they've got a lot to do to really get – I mean, three great players is great, but they've obviously got a great core to build around. They've still got to come up with a center. They've got to find somebody to protect that rim. They've got to get some shooters. They obviously – Mike Miller is a good start there, but I think they've got to put some pieces around them. I wouldn't be shocked if it takes a year to do that, but certainly they are it's hard to picture them not winning a title sometime or two in the next – few years.
Now, going into the season, I guess everybody is saying they are the favorite, but I'm not so quick to anoint these guys. I mean, you have the Bulls, who I thought did some good things. You still have the Magic. You still have the Celtics. So are you quick to put them into the NBA Finals?
No, I'm not at all. And I know that there's a lot of people who, like you said, I think there are a lot of people who are. I think it's going to be hard for them to get out of the East. I think, like you said, I think Orlando's really good. They struggled a little bit in the playoffs, and the matchups got to them, but they're capable. Boston, if they're healthy, you know, they're still an older team, so there's always kind of that question mark. But I think, as we've seen, they're fully capable, if they're healthy in the playoffs, of turning it on, and Rondo's only going to get better. I like Chicago a lot, too. I'm curious to see how that comes together. I'm not sure that they're – Well, I'll have to see how it comes. I really like how their pickups this summer. I think Boozer and Noah make a great front line. I know that they've got the offer in on Redick, but they're picking up some shooters to go around the slashing rows. And you know they're going to play defense now with Thibodeau there. So those four teams will probably be your final four in the East, and I'm in no rush to put Miami on top of that. And especially if they go into a playoff series, and they've got to match up with a banging Jermaine O'Neal. They've got and Kendrick Perkins in Boston, or Dwight Howard. I mean, who do they have? Chris Bosh can't stop Dwight Howard. Chris Bosh is a forward.
And that was you made two references to two one reference to a key signing, and that was Jermaine O'Neal going to the Celtics, and then again today, you know, Derek Fisher just turned down and signed with the Lakers, and now you really, you kind of set the stage. I mean, Orlando has some pieces there, and obviously the Celtics, they basically replace Rasheed Wallace with the talented Jermaine O'Neal, and again, the Lakers retain all talent.
Yeah. The Lakers actually get better. I'll tell you that the Steve Blake pickup is good for them because Fisher plays great on the big stage and has made some great plays in the playoffs. But he's a shadow of what he was even 5 or 10 years ago, especially 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. Steve Blake is a perfect fit in the triangle. He's at the right age. He makes good decisions. He knocks down shots. They got better, if anything, which is scary enough.
And then we'll definitely see what happens, and that definitely should be an interesting situation.
Yeah.
There also has been talk, you're in Las Vegas, and there's been talk with David Stern, and Cavaliers were fined $100,000 by Stern for Dan Gilbert's comments. What's your thoughts on Dan Gilbert's comments?
You know, I think twofold. I mean, I think that was an emotional response. That was him venting in a lot of ways, and you know, because if he'd been thinking more clearly, he certainly wouldn't have used Comic Sans as his font, I would hope. That said, $100,000 and the hassle he's getting for that is money well spent because it went over huge in Cleveland. He said what other people wanted to say, and he was able to say it on a big stage, and they were pissed off. And so I think he buys some credibility with that money in Cleveland, in his market, that serves him well. So
especially when they're walking in now to a year, though, and especially though when they're walking into a year where Paul and I were discussing this earlier, for all intents and purposes, I mean, he could say what he wants about them really having a chance to win a championship before LeBron does, but they lost their best player, and there's really no one out there that they're going to be signing that's relevant this year anyway.
No, they have to start to rebuild. I mean, who else do they have around him? Jameson, who's at the end of his career. They have to now start the rebuilding process, and they'll start going that way. And it's certainly going to be hard to ever find another LeBron. I mean, that's kind of lightning in a bottle that's just not going to come along very often. But you start the process. I think the way it got personal in some of those comments from Dan Gilbert cost him the moral high ground, in a sense, nationally. It got a little over the top, but I don't think it played poorly in a lot of places. So, and in his home market. So, he may have bought himself some time. He's got a couple of years, like you said. In a couple of years, right now it might be hard to sign a free agent after he just blasted one leaving town. But in a couple of years, people will forget.
Well, and did he said LeBron quit in game 2, 4, 5, and 6? You saw the tape. You watched the game. Do you believe that? I don't think he did. I mean,
I don't think so. I don't think he quit. I think his elbow was what bothering him. You know, he was icing it after his Nike camp. You know, it's still bothering him some. I think it was bothering him more than he let on. I think he was frustrated, but I don't think at any point did he not try to win. I don't think that's what happened at all.
Now, the Heat are in the process about of filling out that roster, like you said. Mike Miller was signed today, and also they brought back Udonis Haslam, who definitely is going to be a key for them. I talked about this last week. Is there any chance that a humble Allen Iverson would get an opportunity with the Miami Heat?
Who is this humble Allen Iverson you speak of?
Well, according to some tweets a few weeks ago,
yeah.
Iverson said he's willing to take any and any role with any team. And maybe, you know, he at this point in his career, he has to be humble. He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah. No, I agree he does. I'm not sure that that's the best fit. Iverson's obviously a guy who to be effective in any role, he's going to have to be the guy with the ball in his hands. He's going to have to create. You know, I still think he'd be an awesome sixth guy off the bench on most teams, like the first guy off the bench when you want that scoring punch, because he can still bring that. He can still get in the lane. He still does some things. But he's, you know, you've got to talk to him. You've got to bet that he's humble, and I don't think a lot of people are totally convinced about that. And B, in Miami, I don't know how well that works, because you're going to have Wade or LeBron essentially playing point. almost all the time. I mean, one of those two will likely be on the court 46 minutes a game. You know, when they one subs out, the other will sub in. It's I don't see quite the fit there, but, you know, right now it's not the worst risk at a minimum, maybe, you know, if he's willing to do it. Because that's the other thing is you've got to have some presence in the locker room that can keep him in line. Memphis certainly didn't have that. Philadelphia didn't have that. You know, Miami will have that.
Is there
go ahead, King. You're the king.
Is there any size out there that the Heat can get to contend with the Dwight Howards of the world?
The one name you occasionally hear bounced around, and I will say I heard even Heat people saying bounced around out here, was Shaq, which is a little interesting because that was some bad blood that went down. You know, that didn't exactly end well a few years back. But that said, you know, they need a big body, and he is bad at this point. He's not what he was. He can't, you know, he would have to kind of like Fisher, although I'm not sure how much Fisher's numbers were different. He's going to have to take a huge pay cut. People are offering him the mid-level for a couple years. That would be, you know, the Heat are going to be able to offer him maybe two. I think it's 1.9 for him. If that's the case, he would have to take the pay cut. But Shaq, and this is what some people from Miami said, Shaq likes to be in the middle, man. He likes to be in the spotlight. He likes the circus going on around him. He likes to be in that kind of showcase environment. And he wants a ring because if you think the Kobe-Shaq little personal feud is over, you're nuts. You know, Kobe's like, yeah, I got one more than Shaq when he got up on the thing, and Shaq wants another one. Miami, he's not getting in Atlanta, you know. It's Miami would offer to him probably the best opportunity. And so,
but you raise an interesting point. You raise an interesting point with Shaq is he wants to. I mean, on that team with Bosh, with D Wade, where he was already when he went to Miami, he was the main attraction to Dwayne Wade. Now it's the reverse. Can Shaq behave himself, forgetting about being healthy, which is probably the second part of my question, but can he first behave himself, and then second, can he get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, you know, the Shaq who he said of his time in Miami before that it's like, you know, I felt like I didn't sleep the whole time I was there because he was out at night going out. South Beach is a tempting place, and he was out living large, and he certainly lived a much more quiet life the last few years. And if he went, you know, his body, like all of our bodies, doesn't put up with the partying as well as it does as we age. You know, I don't know that he'd have to still be somewhat of a homebody to still be effective there. And I don't know. You know, I honestly don't know if Shaq can reel it in like that, if he's matured that much or not. It'd be an interesting experiment, but, you know, if you're Pat Riley, are you experimenting? You know,
you answer that. Would you, I mean, if you're Pat Riley and you need a dominant, you obviously need a center to win now.
I don't know. I'd be tempted not to. I'd be tempted to say that I'll be able, you know, I can bring back, I think, Joel Alexander. They've had, you know, I can find some minimum-priced big-body guys to just put in there for now. Pittman's going to be on their team, and he needs a lot of work. I watched him last night, but he is a big body. He could use to be a slightly thinner body, but he'll give them some minutes. And I'd wait my turn till somebody came up at the trade deadline or something where I could sneak in and get somebody. Give up some picks, give up whatever, and get. You don't need. They don't even need Brendan Haywood. They don't need anybody particularly good. They just need somebody who can block some shots and body up and just be a presence in the paint. The problem they're running into is that there just aren't that many of those guys, and they're expensive now because of that.
And Kurt, I got one more question. We'll let you go. The Lakers now, and Lakers against the Heat now. With the Lakers' size with Odom and Gasol and Bynum, I don't know how well this big three stacks up against that Laker ball club.
Yeah, I think Bynum is a healthy Bynum, and it's kind of like the finals. A healthy Bynum would be the difference there right now because they don't have anybody who can match up with him. You know, and I would also take Lamar Odom over Udonis Haslam in a six-man battle, you know, pretty much any day of the week. The Lakers also, you know, this will be there's something to be said for continuity. You know, you see it a little bit in college where those guys, you know, suddenly every year there's a team with a bunch of seniors from some small college who are pretty good, but they've played together 4 years, they know each other, they play in the system, and they're better because of it. The Lakers are sort of there. These guys have all been playing the triangle for a long time now. They know each other. They know how to react. Ron Artest will probably fit in better next year. Having that advantage of continuity is going to be big for them. But Miami will get there. You know, Miami, they're running the old Pat Riley sets with slight twists. It's not rocket science basketball. And if they can get out and run a little bit, you know, last time I checked, that Dwayne Wade guy and that LeBron guy are pretty good finishers. In the open court, so they're going to be entertaining to watch.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, right now I'd say it's the Lakers, but you know we'll see. I'm really curious to see how this shakes out because you know there's still just one ball, and how it's easy to say they're going to share, but this isn't the Olympics. It's going to be a very different thing. So,
and we'll definitely see what happens. It should be very, very interesting. Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime. I'm gonna go back inside where it's air conditioned.
Take care. Have fun in Vegas, but not too much fun.
Damn it! Now you tell me. All right, fine. All right, take it easy.
You know what? You know what, Paul? And we got another guy, and I'm sure we'll bring Kurt back on, and he mirrors a lot of the. Unfortunately for you, Paul, a lot of the same sentiment that I mentioned, which is the code. It's a 4-year contract, and I really wanted to, and I know next time we'll get into that with Kurt, and we'll get into talking about this later all summer. They only have 4 years here to get this right, and this is going to be a frustrating first year for them because they don't have the players, and they're going to get beat up, and they're going to get beat up bad by teams in the East, and probably the Lakers are going to win their fourth title now. So the second year is going to be key for them because then they're all going to have to start playing for their individual contracts and injuries in the third. You know, injuries are going to play a role.
They all signed six-year deals.
But again, it's unfortunate that I'll carry the weight for both of us. They signed 6-year deals, and I'm sure you will say after I'm done, you know this. They all have – all three of them have outs at the end of the fourth year. And then they all have player options for the 6 year. So in reality, because if you look at their ages, and again, economics and finance are going to drive everything in life, the 4 years that they have together to win championships is all fun and games. And the $15 million apparently that they want you and me to believe that they sacrifice is all BS. Because at the end of the fourth year, they're all opting out, and they're going to get huge paydays elsewhere. And that's the bottom. That's the reality of the Heat and this BS arrangement. But the bottom line is an injury for any of the three. They're in the first 2 years of this, and it's going to blow up in their face because they're not going to have Shaq, and they're not going to have a real center to compete. You know, to get out of a dominant East. And you said it, the Heat are better. The Celtics.
It's interesting that, I mean, actually LeBron, funny thing, LeBron said on Saturday night when they were introduced, the Heat were all introduced in big celebration, big fanfare. But anyway, LeBron said that they could put Pat Riley out there and they'll still win. So, I mean, these guys are very confident and believe that they will get it done. LeBron was talking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 titles. We'll see what happens, but that's what LeBron's talking. That's what LeBron is telling us. So we'll see what happens there. But all in all, LeBron let me down. I wanted him to stay in Cleveland. But, hey, that's life. But I'm not ready to crown these guys the NBA champions. I'm not putting that crown on right now. No. Not yet. You got some more moves that you got to do. And as far as I'm concerned, you can't contend with that front line, and you're going to have a hard time contending with Dwight Howard, and that Celtics front line is pretty formidable as well. So I'm not ready to put the crown on these three kings and put rings on these guys' fingers. Not yet. But we got another 40 seconds left in the show. We want to thank everybody who joined us. Fast Eddie Chambers, heavyweight contender. Eddie's still training, getting himself ready for his next fight, whatever that will be. And Kurt Healing, ProBasketballTalk.com. great insight on these NBA free agency and good times and good information. Very good information. But show's about to end. Got a 15 seconds left. Thank you all. Jeremy. Thank
all right,
you.
Paul, we will talk to you later.
We'll do it again. Have a nice night. Have a nice day. Bye. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Paul.
Yes.
When did you get the music?
Oh, we got to take this to the phone.
Oh, okay.